listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
And I'm Elena, and this is episode number one for January 2nd, 2012.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of Embrace Running. On this podcast, we aim to talk about marathons, 5Ks, training, gear, all the trials and tribulations of being a runner, or I should say trying to be a runner. So I guess to start, we should probably tell you a little bit about ourselves. We're both 30-something runners living in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is in Northern California. I first started running probably about 7 years ago, and that kind of randomly started with realizing I wasn't in the same fitness that I used to be, probably in my early 20s, and wanted to kind of get back in shape. Me and a couple friends just, for no reason at all, really, decided to head to a local community college and go out on the track and get a run in. I don't think we knew what really getting a run in meant at the time, but I think I maybe did one lap, needed a break, got maybe two more laps in, and realized I really wasn't in any good shape at all. So that kind of started my interest in running, and me and one of those friends decided to continue running on a regular basis. I think we went to the local college and ran, I think, twice a week. We used to do a pretty steady Tuesday and Thursday thing on the track, but that started at, you know, 1 mile the first time and 2 miles, and we kind of enjoyed it and gotten in a little bit better shape, and decided to do our first 5K together. We didn't really know, I think, what a 5K was. Probably had to look up the mileage. Didn't really know how a race worked or what the logistics were or anything like that. But we did our first 5K, and it was quite a bit of fun, I guess, because we decided 2 weeks later to do an 8K and kept following that up subsequently with additional races over time. So spent about a year running until injuries started catching up to me. I probably tried to do too much too soon or run too fast too soon. And then spent probably the next couple years of trying to continuously get back into the sport, but, you know, always 1 month in, 2 months in, 3 months in, having some kind of injury problem that kind of just made me give up or stop or take time off. And of course, you know, taking 3 weeks off turned into 6 weeks, which turned into 3 months. And all of a sudden I haven't run since, you know, the beginning of the year. And then I think last year, I did my usual start of the year trying to get back into it, and kind of eased back into it, decided to run much slower than I ever had in the past, and was able to keep that going at least at the end of last year and steadily build up at the end of last year. Did my first 10K. I've actually done, over the years, lots of 5Ks, but it wasn't until last year that I did my first 10K. I think I did maybe two last year. And then I think I really trained for a relay is what really sparked my interest and really kept me going for a long time. So that was kind of my comeback into running. And now I'm setting new goals for 2012 to hopefully continue to build mileage and get more in the sport. I always love going to the 5Ks and think they're a lot of fun. So my long-term goals are to eventually someday run a marathon. And very soon I actually have my first half marathon scheduled, but I think we'll talk about that later. So how did your first experiences with running go?
I think my first experiences with running was really to use it as a way for weight loss, I think. And that started probably about 7 years ago also, maybe about seven or 8 years ago. I think, you know, initially, you know, wanting something physical to do to burn some calories, to try to get some pounds off. I think probably a common reason that a lot of adults get into running initially. So it started off with, you know, a couple of, you know, 1 mile runs here and there, 2 miles. Never really did 3 miles. That just seemed, you know, unattainable for me. And I had a friend who was running at the time who actually convinced me to do a 5K with her. Of course, didn't really know what that meant. I just knew it was about 3 miles. Decided to do it with her. She thankfully stuck with me the whole way, and I somehow made it through, you know, 3.1 miles, even though I felt horrible at the time that I was doing it. You know, getting through the finish line with all the excitement, all the support, and having my friend there, you know, really kind of sparked my interest to keep running and actually then really start racing. So, you know, over the next year or so, I was able to kind of keep running consistently, you know, anywhere from maybe 1 to 3 miles at a time. And with, you know, the last couple of years, I've really been able to build up on that, thankfully. And since then, really doing several 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, and actually 2 full marathons now, both the California International Marathon and Folsom to Sacramento area, with the last one being just last December. So now it's really just become, running's really just become a part of what I do. I really enjoy it, and I really can't imagine not running. So that's kind of what kind of sparked my interest in running.
Right, and I think this podcast is kind of going to be an extension of our enthusiasm for the sport. And yeah, we've met a lot of great people at races and love talking about running and sharing our experiences and definitely hearing other people's experiences and comparing notes on training and upcoming races. So this podcast is going to kind of be an outlet for that. And hopefully, you know, eventually we'll be able to hear from you and your experiences and share with us so we can learn what else is going on out there. Now, we're probably doing a regular basis to kind of go over what our week was leading up to this. So I'll go ahead and go first because I think my week was a lot less interesting than yours. this was just another regular training week. I'm actually doing my first half marathon in 2 weeks. So this past weekend was, I guess, my long run that I think is going to be my longest before the half marathon. So this weekend I actually ran 11 and a half on Saturday, which is the longest I've ever run in my life. Previous to this was, I guess, the week before I ran 10 miles. 11 and a half, I did two. I've been running 3 days a week, following a pretty set and consistent schedule for me, which has been kind of a Tuesday, Thursday, and a weekend long run. Although, as been historically famous with me, I've had a lot of injuries, and my knees this week didn't seem to cooperate during the week. And then, thankfully, come Saturday,
with your long run, which is kind of funny, but
yeah, I get to my long run and my left knee that's been bothering me all week seems to be no problem, but then my IT band on my right leg seems to want to take the week off for some reason. But I got my 11 and a half miler in, went pretty well. Probably the tiredest I've ever been from a run. My legs, I think, at about 9.5, they weren't jello, but they were done. I realized when I had pauses in my music as I listened while I ran that my feet were no longer kind of popping up and down on the pavement. I was just kind of plodding along, and the noise from my feet was kind of shocking to me when I didn't hear the music. I'm like, wow, my legs are really tired. I need to kind of try to get maybe some of my running form back. But other than that, you know, I think I totaled at 18 miles for the week, which is probably the most I've run, with the exception of a Ragnar relay I did last year, which was basically a whole lot more miles in 2 days or 36 hours. But we'll talk about that again as other relays come up. But you, on the other hand, had a much more interesting week because you actually raced this past weekend.
Yes, I did. I raced New Year's this past New Year's weekend. I actually ended up running for the last week, maybe about 30 to 40 miles, which seems to be pretty average for me. But this weekend, I actually was able to do back-to-back races. So a race on Saturday, New Year's Eve, and then a race again on Sunday, on New Year's Day, both at a regional park, Lake Chabot, a regional park in Castro Valley, California, which was... Initially, when I thought about it, I didn't know if I really wanted to do back-to-back races. I hadn't done it before. I had done the relay, but I hadn't really done back-to-back races and wasn't sure if I wanted to do it. But then they came out with a double medal. If you did both races back-to-back, you actually got a special medal.
So they enticed you with the bling, of course.
Of course, yeah. So they got me. Yeah.
Okay, so Saturday was the first race. What was the distance on that one?
That was a 10K. So I did a 10K on Saturday, and I did a 5K on Sunday. Now, they offered 3 different distances for both days, 5K, 10K, and half marathon for both. Even though I've done quite a few races, I haven't really done much trail running, which is actually a goal for mine for this upcoming year. So I didn't really want to go and do the half marathon with the trail race, which that's what these New Year races were. They're actually trail races. So I signed up for the 10K on Saturday and the 5K on Sunday. Saturday, the 10K course is pretty interesting, which I did Saturday. We start off with the same course as the 5K, which is basically paved trail, rolling hills, maybe for like the first mile and a half or so. And then you hit dirt trail and start climbing pretty quickly. So you actually climb, I think, about 500 or 600 feet on this trail, Live Oak Trail, which I think you know pretty well. Not from running.
I've been to Lake Chabot many times, and I've actually mountain biked the whole entire lake. So I've actually biked down Live Oak Trail.
Yeah.
For good reason. I never biked up it.
Right. And I think most mountain bikers in the area that do that trail actually.
Which is why, when I used to go to Lake Chabot, I always used to go clockwise around the lake specifically because I didn't want to climb up it, but it was also a lot of fun actually barreling down that trail on a mountain bike. But running up it is something that I had never considered.
Right. Yeah. Well, I hadn't either until these races came up. So, yeah. But so get to Live Oak Trail, start climbing. Thankfully it was dry because, it hasn't really rained here. I think maybe in about a week or longer.
We've been very fortunate here in Northern California. Well, I guess fortunate from a runner standpoint in that there's basically been no rain the entire month of December. So if you're looking at it as a runner, this is good. If you're a snowboarder, there's you know, most of us here in Northern California head up to Tahoe, and there's basically no snow up there, which is pretty unusual for this time of year. But for running, it's great, and it kept the trails for you pretty – I guess it's just hard-packed dirt.
Yeah, it just ended up being hard-packed dirt since it hadn't really rained. I was glad because it can get pretty muddy up there. But once I hit the dirt trail or the Live Oak Trail, just start climbing, and I just figured I would try to run or jog or – something as long as I could. But of course, you know, there was a couple of spots where I had to walk for a little while and I wasn't alone. There was tons of people, you know, walking. Everybody pretty much walks at one point or another up that trail. You get to the top and it's actually the turnaround point for the 10K right at the aid station. Turn back around. I was so thankful I didn't have to climb anymore and then realized, wait, I got to figure out a way to get back down this trail. It's just as steep, and I need to maintain control and not tumble down the trail. So that I hadn't really thought about that going up, that I had to come back down. And once I was coming down, it was probably just as difficult coming down the trail as it was going up. So back down to the bottom of the dirt trail, basically just kind of retrace your steps on the paved road back to the beginning of the race, which ends up being the finish line.
Now, I know the 10K went off before the 5K, right?
Yes.
So as you were running back, you were coming across 5Kers,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
There was no issue with being too crowded of a trail or anything like
no,
that?
No, it wasn't. I mean, basically by the time I got back down to the shared course for the 5K, 10K racers, there were quite a few 5K racers, but they did a pretty good job of staying on the right side of the trail so that when we kind of merged back with them, it was pretty easy for us to just pass them on the left-hand side and not have to try to maneuver. They didn't take up the whole entire trail.
And then you said there was an aid station at the turnaround, right?
Yes.
And there are two aid stations total?
Right. So you actually pass there's an aid station at the 5K turnaround, which you actually end up passing twice if you do the 10K. And then there's an aid station at the 10K turnaround.
Okay. So overall, a good race.
Yes, definitely a good race.
You had a pretty good time, I think.
Yes.
Especially for someone who doesn't do much trail running.
Right.
You don't even have, like, trail running shoes or anything, right?
No, I just pulled out an old pair of running shoes that I haven't used in a while because I didn't know what the dirt was going to be like. I didn't want to, you know, use some newer shoes. So I just pulled out an old pair of running shoes and took those with me. And I was pretty happy with my results, especially since I don't really do, you know, really any trail running or haven't done it since probably the beginning of the year. So,
right.
Yeah.
So that race went well. And then that was New Year's Eve.
That was New Year's Eve.
So the very next morning you go back.
Go back. Same place.
And then actually for the 5K and 10K, it's actually, they did the same course on the next day. The half marathon, they did change up for the second day. You literally went around the the opposite direction of the lake. So right. Saturday was counterclockwise.
Yeah, so for the half marathoners, Saturday was counterclockwise, so they got to go up Live Oak Trail as well. And then Sunday was clockwise, where they got to go around the lake and then come down Live Oak Trail. So that was a difference with the half marathon course. But the 5K and 10K courses were the same on both days. But I was glad that I had actually just signed up for the 5K, not the 10K on Sunday, because my legs were pretty tired.
But you would have probably gotten through the 10K. Okay?
I would have gotten through it, but
yeah, but actually in would have been interesting to see how different your times would have been,
right, yeah,
for the 2 days based on just how tired you were, because basically everything else was kind of the same. Weather was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been a little colder, I think.
Yeah, I think a little bit colder on Sunday, and actually a little bit less crowded on Sunday too.
Less people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think too many people wanted to get up on New Year's Day morning.
After the New Year's Eve. And yeah.
Although it was 8:30 or 9 a.m. start, so a little later, I think.
Yeah, than usual.
Than they usually do. But I don't think too many people wanted to go and race right after their New Year's Eve, especially if they'd been up to probably past midnight and some much later than that.
Yeah.
So the 5K course was pretty on Sunday, pretty straightforward, mm-hmm. same as kind of what you ran the day before.
Right. Just turned around sooner. Just turned around at the 5K turnaround. So no dirt trail on Sunday.
So, and then how tired were you from doing the two races back to back after the second one?
I was pretty tired. I think right after the race, I didn't feel so bad. I think just because the adrenaline's going, but as the day kind of wore on, my legs were pretty tired.
And so the race was pretty well organized, like it always is.
Yes.
This was these two races were put on by Brazen Racing, which I think their website is brazenracing.com. And they put on lots of trail runs throughout the year. And we're actually big fans of them because it's always well organized.
Yeah, it's very well organized. Like you said, pretty much most of them are trail races, which is pretty rare that you get, a lot of aid stations and the organization, at the trail races. The other nice thing about their race is you actually get a medal, a finisher's medal, regardless of what distance you do. So whether you do 5K, 10K, or half marathon, you get a finisher's medal, which is pretty rare.
So if you really like the bling, definitely check out their races. Or I think it's actually really, really kind of cool for people that have never done a race and you know, this is kind of a new thing and you go out and you do your first 5K, whether you run it or you walk it. I think it's very nice and encouraging to those people, and it's nice to have something from the race that shows that you did it. So even if you did the 5K, you get that medal.
You get the medal,
to take home or to show your friends, or I know a lot of people like to take their medals to work and hang them there. So that's kind of nice. They also do some other things like t-shirts. If you don't want a t-shirt, they deduct $5 from your race entry fee. So if you're someone like us, or I know a lot of the regular runners out there end up with stacks of shirts in their closets, and they're either, you know, one of the good things to do is donate them, or people go online and make quilts out of them, or I just saw a couple of weeks ago there's a company now making, oh no, that was bags that they make out of your bib numbers, not your shirts.
Right.
But at least this one, you can deduct $5 if you don't want your shirt.
Yeah. Or you can actually add, pay an additional $6 to the registration fee, your entry fee, and actually get a technical fabric shirt instead of the cotton shirt, which I know a lot of people would rather have, is the technical fabric versus the cotton, because you could actually use it to run.
So basically you just end up paying $11 for a tech shirt, which is probably cheaper than what you're going to pay, depending on what brand of technical shirt you regularly get. But also they also have bag check.
Yes.
So you can throw your sweats in before, and they'll watch your bag for you. Picking up, it's all chip timed.
Yep, it's all chip timed with the ankle, the foam ankle bracelet thing.
Strap.
Yeah. Strap. There
Which
you
is
go.
Nice that they have the foam, because we've done a couple races where it's just the strap and it kind of cuts into your to your leg. Although usually most races, if you're doing a half or something, they give you the little foam thing so that it doesn't cut into you, but that's still annoying. So they do a lot of good things, and we really like doing their races, and we'll probably do several more of those. So if you're in the Bay Area, I definitely recommend checking out brazenracing.com. I think is the website.
Yes.
As I pull it up here. So a good weekend for you.
Good weekend. Yep. Got my double medal.
So you got your two medals.
Yeah. So I got my finisher's medal for doing the New Year's Eve 10K, and then I got my finisher's medal for doing the New Year's Day 5K. And because I did the two races back to back, I actually got a special medal that actually allows you to kind of join the other two. So you get a big mega medal for doing the two races back
right,
to back.
Right, so they interlock with each other.
Yes.
And then the New Year's Eve was kind of, the medal was kind of cool. It was like an old man with a long beard.
Right.
Kind of the,
I think it's
the
like, out with the old thing. Yeah.
And then the New Year's one was...
The New Year's Day was, I think, a child or an infant or a baby that said, in with the new.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the third medal that joined it was a picture, had a picture of the lake, which you
right.
did, Lake Chabot. And
it said, I think it said one lake, 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. No complaints there. They actually did, Raisin actually did something similar for their Thanksgiving races. Although
right.
they were at two separate locations here in the Bay Area, they actually did a double medal for that. And it was the same thing. You combined them. I think that was their quarry turkey and nitro turkey.
Yeah. I think one of them was on Thanksgiving Day on that Thursday. And then the next one was on Saturday, just a couple of days later.
Which we did, we both ran the quarry turkey.
Yeah, we did the 10K. Saturday one.
But the nice thing I'll say about Brazen, too, is although these are trail races and they have 5K, 10K, and half marathon, it's walkers are always encouraged. They're really trying to just get people out on these trails and get outdoors and encourage people to, even if you can't run, come walk it.
Right.
Come rock the 5K or the 10K or walk the half marathon.
Exactly.
You won't be the only one. You won't. Don't worry about finishing last. Yeah. There'll be people out there, and you'll probably encounter people just out at the regional parks enjoying the weekend anyways. So you won't be by yourself doing that. So what else do we got here to talk about? New Year's resolutions, I guess we'll tap on that real fast since that's the corny thing to do maybe at this time of year.
Right.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I think kind of just talking about Brazen Racing too, one of my overall goals for this new year is to actually do more trail running. So I think definitely, like you said before, probably do a lot more or do some more Brazen races just to be able to get out there and enjoy the trails and do some running. Maybe even do a half marathon on a trail by the end of the year, hopefully. We'll see how it goes.
That sounds challenging.
Yeah.
And fun.
Yeah. As long as it's not on Live Oak.
I'll do it somewhere else. Maybe at a different location.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not quite so... Not so much vertical climb on the trail would be nice, I
right.
guess. Or
yeah.
I guess the steepness is more
the
issue.
I think it was more the steepness, yeah. Yeah.
So more trail running.
More trail running, and then we've got a couple of races coming up. Next one up is in 2 weeks, which is Rock and Roll Arizona.
Right. So we're both going to go to Rock and Roll Arizona. This is going to be, for me, I guess, this is a milestone, I guess you could say, is this is going to be my first half marathon ever.
Yeah, definite milestone.
So I've... You know, it's funny, years ago I had the goal of running a marathon before I turned 30, and that one came and went. Unfortunately, I missed that goal. So my New Year's resolution, although I won't call it a resolution, is I guess to do a marathon this year. I'm kind of eyeing CIM at the end of the year, but I'm also flirting with the thought of maybe the San Francisco Marathon in July. But for sure in 2 weeks I'm doing my first half marathon. Like I said, I did my 11.5 mile run this weekend, so that's, and I've been training consistently, probably the most consistent training I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, now you hit the taper.
So I don't even know if you're supposed to taper for a half marathon. I guess you probably wouldn't because you do more miles than me, but for me
might not be a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. So actually next weekend I think I might only run 9 on the weekend. Just because my knees, like I said, have been giving me problems off and on for the last couple months. But despite the knees, I've been consistent, more consistent than ever. I've stuck to my 3 days a week. And eventually, I think I'm going to go to 4 days a week. But I've just kind of been super fearful of running back-to-back days because I don't know what my body's going to feel like running that. And mind you, I'm a pretty slow runner right now. I've been so worried about injury that I really run slow. I've actually do a lot of walk breaks now. Something that you never would have caught me doing years ago, just because to me running was running. But now I jump right into the walk breaks, no problem. So first marathon, that's my goal. First half marathon, I'm sorry.
You're jumping the gun.
I'm jumping the gun. I'm going straight
to
the
marathon.
I've already stopped talking about the half.
Yeah, you're just going straight to the marathon.
Actually, like a crazy person, I haven't done my first half, and I'm already signed up for 3 half marathons in 2012.
Right. So Arizona.
So Arizona in 2 weeks, we both registered for Pleasanton Half Marathon,
right.
which is an inaugural event here in the area in April.
Right.
So haven't done one, signed up for that one. And then even actually before I signed up for that one, I signed up for Rock and Roll in October in San Jose.
Right.
Which I don't know why I would sign up for that, but I figured it was 10 months away and they had some special going.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty good discount that we just really, we thought we couldn't really pass this up with it being so close.
Right. So yeah, we're kind of suckers for if there's a real cheap race.
Right, exactly. We're suckers for bling and discounts.
Yeah, if you got a really cool medal right, or your race is really cheap, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Just let us know. So yeah, so I've already signed up for 3 half marathons, haven't even gotten one in the bag. So, but definitely looking forward to Arizona in 2 weeks, and we'll probably talk about that more next week as that becomes 1 week out and as I figure out kind of what my plan for attacking for attacking that one's going to be. I know I'm probably carrying my own water.
Right.
After
especially
what
after
we heard
what
about
in Las Vegas.
Right, right.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll Las Vegas. Which I won't get into that too much, but
right,
but after that I was like, I'm carrying my water.
Yeah.
Although
sure,
that's something I never used to do.
Yeah.
And I never really looked for, I always thought, why would you carry water for a half marathon? There's going to be aid stations every 2 miles,
yeah,
but I guess aid stations run out of water,
right,
or I guess
or
the
volunteers
water can,
maybe
volunteers can
yeah,
take
can
off and decide
can
to
disappear.
Go home.
Disappear, yeah, unexpectedly.
Oh, there could be issues or not issues with the water, although
right,
that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Thing and until Vegas, I never heard of that at all. Anyways,
right, but yeah, that I actually will be carrying my own water as well for the first time in a half marathon.
And that's something
so
you normally don't do.
I normally don't do I'll,
even
yeah,
for a marathon. You never carry.
No,
I with you.
Yeah.
So we'll both be doing that. CIM this year. You're probably you think CIM is going to be a regular yearly event.
Yeah,
for you, right?
Yeah. See, I mean, I've done it twice in a row, 2 years in a row. I think I'm going to try to make it a yearly thing. Every December, as long as I can do it. So, yeah, that's in my plans for this year.
Now, I got to say, having, you know, this podcast will be kind of interesting because as you listen, you're going to kind of get to see how my year goes. And I think for me, it's going to be a first half marathon and hopefully a first marathon, either middle of the year or the end of the year. But at this point, I can't even imagine running 26 miles. I can't even imagine that, you know, the long training runs that you get into in the program of 20 miles.
Right.
Leading up
to
I don't know
it.
How to do 20 miles.
Yeah.
I don't. You do a lot of runs on treadmills. And you,
yes,
you've done long runs on treadmills.
Yes. So I do most of my long runs on treadmills.
So you've done 20 miles on a treadmill.
Yes.
I can't imagine doing yes, 20 miles on a treadmill. I mean, outside is hard enough for me. I think I would go insane trying to run 20 miles at the gym on a treadmill. I like to get outside. The problem I've had lately going outside is, you know, I kind of have my normal neighborhood routes that I run, and now I'm kind of running basically the same route twice or
right,
doubling back because that's the only way I can get up to like 10 or 11 miles. So I'm going to have to run to like the next town over or something
right,
to
get
a
your
20-mile run
exactly,
or something like that in. But that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and that's honestly the main reason that I actually do my long runs on the treadmill in the gym is because of just trying to piece together an 18 miler or 20 miler in the area is just not, it's not the easiest. You end up maybe doing, like you said, your usual route, you know, two or three or four times. So,
although it's probably got to be nice to put, you know, you put your water up on the treadmill. You
yeah,
put your
it
news,
is
your
very
snacks,
nice to have it all there. Yeah.
You need to run to the restroom. It's
right,
around the corner.
Right.
Although
yeah, it's right there.
Although you always joke that, like, it's interesting because you always see people show up at the gym. They come. They go,
leave,
you're still
yeah,
there.
Right.
The people, more people come, they go, you're still there.
Right.
So you're seeing constantly people coming and going,
yeah,
but you're still there, banging
right,
out
still
your
20-miler exactly,
or 16-miler.
Yeah, or whatever it may be.
Spending 4 hours
yeah,
on the treadmill. Oh, yeah, right, at least you get to have a towel, too.
That's true, yeah.
And then, of course, weather doesn't become an issue.
Right. Yeah, and also with during, you know, wintertime, even though weather hasn't really been much of an issue for us yet, just the fact that the days are shorter, too. So, you know, it gets dark sooner, and I don't necessarily want to be out there either in the morning or at night when it's dark already, you know, doing a run by myself at all at night. So that's
right,
another reason to
yeah, do. Yeah, I've actually never in the past been a huge fan of running at night, but you know, it gets dark so early that's the only choice for me,
right,
is to run in the evening and night because I'm not going to the gym obviously to do a treadmill run, although I used to run on the treadmill. But lately I've been going out at night and I've been getting very used to it. I actually wear my reflective vest that I had to get for Ragnar last year,
right,
as my safety thing. Cause I definitely feel better with that.
Yeah.
Cause I'm always, you won't find me running on a sidewalk. I'm always on the side of the street there, unless it's some type of bike trail or bike path or something like yeah, that. So get my vest and got a new ASICS beanie now to keep my ears warm. Cause that's my other issue, and my gloves, and I'm out there at night, But I'd still rather do that than hop on a treadmill all the time.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned you wear your reflective vest that you had to get for the relay. Did you ever think at the time when you got the reflective vest that you'd actually be using it at any other time other than for the relay?
Never.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of overkill and silly for Ragnar that we actually had to wear these vests, although I think historically in Ragnar they did have a death several years ago, which I don't know the circumstances of that. But doing Ragnar, you definitely realize as you're driving in the vans and you see other people that, oh, these vests make it real obvious where people are at, and without the vests, you're just not going to see people. So I've definitely caught on to that, and I now wear my reflective vest around the neighborhood and have no issue about doing that. So.
And speaking of Ragnar relays, we also have one planned for this year again.
Right. We're for sure in for Ragnar Napa Valley, which we did last year. And we have already registered, although that's 9 months away. We registered day one for that one. Call us crazy. But we did have a blast doing it last year, and definitely are going to do that again this year, probably with a lot of the same people we did last year. And we're considering making the trip to Southern California to do Ragnar SoCal, which I think is in April. So if we end up doing SoCal Ragnar, that's going to be a week before we do that other half marathon in Pleasanton. So that'll be interesting, which we thought about before, but I think we said, well, I don't know, after a Ragnar, what's a couple more miles?
Exactly, a week later, what's a few more miles after
Ragnar? You know, I kind of go by that. Hopefully by then I'll be up to, 10, 13 miles is not going to be a problem for me any longer at that point. So we've got quite a few races planned for next year, or this year, I guess I should say. Got to get used to saying 2012.
This year now.
So it'll be fun. So this podcast we're going to keep talking about every week, our training, our running, our gear. Upcoming, you'll hear our race reports. So next week we'll probably talk about getting my getting ready for Arizona.
Right.
I think the week after that we're probably not going to podcast that week while we're at Arizona because we have to travel out of town for that one. And we'll be enjoying Arizona. I think the weather, hopefully the weather's going to be warmer than here. But, but
hopefully not too warm.
So the week after that we'll definitely be back with a full kind of report on how that race went.
On the rock, on our first rock and roll half marathon and your very first half marathon.
And my first half marathon. Yeah. I'm pretty excited. I don't think I'm nervous anymore, but
good.
But ask me next week and that'll be a different story. or I'll probably be like making sure when I pack next week, don't forget the running shoes.
Exactly.
Take don't forget
an extra pair.
Take two pairs of running shoes and three shorts and I guess I gotta figure out what shirt to wear and what I'm carrying and the goo and all that stuff. So hopefully, basically this is going to be a weekly podcast and we'll kind of share our stories as we go and hopefully eventually hear from you guys as well on how your races and your training are going. And we can share questions and feelings and attitudes about running. And, for us, we definitely encourage people to get out there and run. We think it's a great way to definitely get in shape, stay in shape, be healthy, healthier lifestyle. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it's a chance to clear their heads.
Exactly. I think it's good just for even mental health, emotional health, just keeping sane.
Get rid of some of that stress.
Yeah.
You definitely have a lot of, if you start running half marathons and training for that or full marathons, you definitely have a lot of time to kind of get inside your head and think about a lot of different things. And, probably in running a marathon, your head's probably going to think about a lot of crazy different things as you go.
You get to do a lot of problem solving with those long runs.
Problem solving. So you figure out all your issues that week, and you start planning out the next week, and hopefully you start probably go a lot of training stuff goes. I don't know, a lot of training stuff goes through my mind
while you're training.
When I'm training, I guess it's like, well, did I run too much last week? What am I going to run next week? And wait, is that a pain in my leg coming back? Oh no, what am I going to do? Or I should go get some new shoes or whatever it is at the time. So I think that's going to do it for episode number one.
Yeah, I think that's it for episode one.
So thanks for listening. You can find us at embracerunning.com and we'll have a link there to our Facebook page, which is not up yet, but will be up by the time this episode drops. So until next time, keep on running.